So, this week is Parshas Acharei Mois. It's also Shabbos Hagodol. There's a portion of this week's Seder that we read on Yom Kippur. In fact, most of the Seder deals with Yom Kippur, but in the end of the Seder, we read Shabbos Mincha. It's like the one time of the year that we could really handle all this. The Torah says, "Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lema." God spoke to Moshe, saying, "Daber el bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel. V'yomar talem, and tell them, Ani Hashem Elokechem, I am God, I am the Lord your God." So that verse, that sentence in itself is unique in the Torah. So speak to them and tell them, Ani Hashem Elokechem, I'm God, like we didn't know. Then the next verse says, Kemase Eretz Mitzrayim Ashi Yishavtem Bo Loitasu. Don't do anything that used to be done in Egypt where you used to live. And all the acts of the Canaanites in the land of Canaan that I'm bringing you there, don't do those things. And I don't want you to walk in their statutes, in their ways. Do my laws, keep my laws. And guard my statutes. Lolechas bem, to go in them, Ani Hashem Nekechem, I am God. Ushmartem es chukoisai, and guard my statutes, ve'es mishpotai, and my laws, hashe yasa oisam ho'odam v'chai behem, that a person should do them and live in them, Ani Hashem, I am God. And then what follows are the forbidden sexual connections, relationships, and so forth. And we read that on Mincha time on Yom Kippur. So there are some questions here in this text. As the first one we pointed out, what's tell the Yidden I'm God. The Medrash says, it says, keep my laws and guard my statutes. And then it says, guard my statutes and do my laws, which a person should do v'chai b'hem, and live by them. And incidentally, the Gemara learns from here that, you know, that pikuach nefesh is doicha Shabbos, that if you're in danger for your life, you can break Shabbos, because it says v'chai b'hem. Shabbos is a choik, Shabbos is a statute. And yet the Torah says v'chai b'hem, live with them, live in them, don't die in them. So if a person needs to break Shabbos for a matter of life and death, and the Torah here has told us v'chai b'hem. But the reason the Torah repeats these two verses, keep my laws or do my laws, right, and guard my statutes, and then the next verse again, guard my statutes and do my laws. So the Medrash says, it's telling us, What's the difference between laws and statutes? Laws, the Gemara says, is something that if it wasn't written in the Torah, you'd know about it anyway. You'd figure it out. It's a mishpat. It's a law. It makes sense that even if you didn't have a divine revelation, you would work it out. That's a mishpat. So it makes sense, ta'asu, to do it. Chukah, on the other hand, statutes, don't make sense. Tum and Tahara, why Chaza, you're not allowed to eat, a pig you're not allowed to eat, but a cow you can eat. So these are things that the Sotan v'Umas Olam, that the Yetzahara, the evil inclination, tries to get a person to sort of rationalize. So Tishmaru, so the Torah says guard it. Tishmaru, you have to think about it. You have to keep it in mind, because if not for the fact that you keep it in mind, it wouldn't occur to you. So why does the Torah repeat it? The Gemara says, the Medrash says, to give Asiyah and Shmirah to Mishpat, to give Asiyah and Shmirah to Chag. So because there is the doing and there's the thinking about, so the Torah says, you can think about the Mishpat, the law as well, because there's more to it. And also by the Chukah, the statute, there's the doing of it also, as well as the thinking about. So both of them have both aspects. Doesn't really answer the question what it means. So this week, I want to say over a Torah from the son of the Meir Shiloach, the Biskvitzer Rebbe, and also another Torah of his on Pesach. So he breaks it down like this. He says, the Torah commands us specifically, Kimasa Eretz Mitzrayim, the deeds of the Egyptians. And the Gemara says, why does the Torah warn against doing the deeds of the Egyptians? Because the deeds of the Egyptians were worse. They were mekulkolim, mikol harotzes. They were more corrupt than all the lands in the world. And the Canaanites, the land of the seven nations that God was bringing us there, they were maybe even worse. And that these two nations, they had some really profoundly disgusting habits and ideas and philosophies and religions and ways of life, and the Torah is warning us, do not do those. So the Rebbe says, Kemasa Eretz Mitzrayim, that refers to where you've come from, right? Where you come from? You come from the womb. So there is a, we've talked about this many times, that we're born, each individual is born with their own character flaw. Yes. We've also talked about the fact that it's our greatest strength, it's our greatest weakness. What looks like our greatest weakness are usually hiding our greatest strength. So Kemasa Eretz Mitzrayim refers to the things that you're born with that don't make sense. Because if God is creating me, and everything that God creates in the world is divine and perfect and wonderful and gewalt, it's made by God, is the creator, so why did he make me like this? That makes sense. If I'm supposed to be good and honorable and worshipful and thankful, then why am I like this? Why did he make me like this? Chukah, you see, it's like a statute. It's like a statute. Doesn't make sense. So the Torah tells you the only way to deal with that is with another chukah, another statute that doesn't make sense. So the elements of self that don't make sense in the big picture, or at least to our big picture. When I look at myself and I say, why on earth was I made like this? It makes sense. The Torah tells me, don't do this, don't do this, this, all these things are, and I'm born with the exact desire to do those things. Desire, compulsion, basic character things. So the answer the Torah says is chukah. So pick out my statutes, God says, and do them without any logic. If you hold on to my Torah without any logic, that will be the fixing of that part of you that doesn't have any logic. On the other hand, there's the Masa Eretz Canaan. There's the deeds of the land of Canaan where I'm bringing you. So God says, so when you get born, now you're going to start acting out on your faults, on that basic character flaw, which, fair enough, you can't do anything about. But now you're entering into the world, and if you choose, you're going to start acting out in certain ways that are fairly predictable. That's the Masa Eretz Canaan, the deeds of the land of Canaan, which are what follows if a person starts to act out on their character flaws, their defects of character. So there, because it's predictable, And it follows, there's a kind of logic in a person's failings and the things that we do and the way that we interact with people and, you know, the selfish things that we do, the destructive things that we do. You know, it doesn't take much analysis to find out that there's a logic, there's a structure that underlies even our most self-destructive behavior, which you can understand. So that's like the mishpat, that's like the law that makes sense. To deal with the laws that make sense, no? So the Torah gives us laws that make sense. So now if we look at the structure of these verses, so first the Torah tells us, Dabro b'nei Yisroel amarta lehem ani Hashem Elokecha. Speak to the Yidden and tell them, I'm God. Meaning, we are going to be dealing with the most basic, fundamental, underlying architecture of your soul. Who among us feels competent to deal with the stuff, with the fallout from the flaws in my soul? Nobody. So God says, tell the Eden, I'm God. Right? So before we even go into this subject, you should know that I am God, I'm the Lord your God, whichever way you want to parse it, I'm here. He didn't dump you into the world and that's it. Right? We're doing this together. Then the Torah says, Kamas Eretz Mitzrayim, Kamas Eretz Canaan, like the Egypt that you came from, meaning your basic character flaw that you're born with already, and the Canaan that you're going to, meaning all the acting out that you're gonna do. Don't do that. Why? Es mishpotai tasu, do my laws and guard my statutes, which we said the laws are the ones that make sense and the statutes are the ones that don't. And then we repeated it, and the Gemara says that means because we give mishpat to chayk and chayk to mishpat. We give unthinking, we give the logic, we put the logic inside the illogical, and we put the illogical inside the logical, right? We give shmira to mishpat, and we give asir to chayk. Like, we mix them together. Why? So, the Rebbe says, because the Torah says, v'chai bohem. V'chai bohem. You have to live with them. David Melech Yisroel chai v'kayim. David Melech Yisroel chai v'kayim. David, the king of Israel, he lives forever. That part of us which is Malchus, right? That part of us which is King David, which lives forever, that part of us knows that the Chayk and the Mishpat, that there's grey areas in Chayk and there's grey areas in Mishpat. And the Rebbe brings a posuk, he brings a verse from Psalms, in Psalm 18. King David says, V'yoshev Hashem li kitzidki, God will pay me back for my righteousness. And the Gemara says, Rashi says, what's this righteousness? It's that when one night, when King Saul and his army were chasing after King David, because King David was outlawed, and there was a price on his head, and David really didn't have any thought of rebellion, but King Saul was convinced that David's a rebel, a traitor. So one night, David crawled into King Saul's camp, into his tent, and he cut off the hem of King Saul's robe while he was wearing it. And then the next morning, he stood on the hill opposite and he said, Father, Saul. Saul was his father-in-law. He says, if I wanted to kill you, I could have killed you. I mean you no harm. Will you believe me? So, of course, King Saul was insane and didn't believe him. But when King David is praying, he says, maybe God will pay me back for my tzedek. If you look at the previous verse, it says, Ki kol mishpotav lenegdi, because all his laws, talking about God, he says, I've guarded God's ways, and I haven't done wickedness. Ki chol mishpotav lenegdi, because all his laws are there in front of me. V'chukoysov lo osimani, and his statutes, they never leave me. So the Rebbe says, if you look, if you're medayik, if you look carefully at the expression, ki kol mishpotav lenegdi, all his laws, all God's laws are against me. They're not facing me, they're against me. Because the law was that Shaul, King Saul, was a roidev, was a pursuer. And the halacha is, the law demands that you kill your pursuer before he kills you. It's not a choice. It's a halacha, you know. Habo lahargo, chashkein vahargo. If somebody's coming to kill you, you're obliged to defend yourself. You're obliged to defend yourself. So, King David had Saul at his mercy, but he didn't. And the law demanded that he should. So this is ki chol mishpotav lenegdi. All God's laws are against me. Why? V'chukoysav lo osimani. Because King David says, you know, inside every law, there's a choik. There's something illogical. There's a statute. There's something that goes beyond reason. So King David didn't kill King Saul because something inside him said, no, it's the wrong thing to do. And his Yoav ben Tzruya, all his, well, most of his followers were livid with anger. How could you do such a thing? Here we're fighting on your behalf. We're also outlaws because we're with you in your camp. And then you have your chief tormentor there at your mercy and you don't kill him. What does that mean to us? Well, are you serious? You want us to get killed? I mean, they had good argument, very good argument. And they had the halacha. The law demands that you protect yourself by killing your enemy. And King David didn't kill him. Why v'chai bohem? Because the Torah says v'chai bohem. Because King David is connected to life in a way that nobody's connected to life, not a living soul, because David didn't have any life. He didn't have this physical life, that he didn't have any years. King David is connected to some life force that is deeper than this physical, temporary life that we experience. David Melech Yisroel Chai V'Kayam. So King David knows that inside the law is a statute, and inside the statute is a law. And sometimes you have to do this, and so, how do you know what to do? Sometimes you have to do what you know you have to do, because it comes from the deepest place inside you. So there's a Gemara. There's a Gemara in Psochem. Dorash Rebbe Vira. Rebbe Vira used to teach this. Zimnin Oma Mishmei de Rebbe Ami. And sometimes he would teach it in the name of his master Rebbe Ami. Vizimnin Oma Le Mishmei de Rebbe Asi. And sometimes he would teach the same teaching in the name of another teacher, Rebbe Asi. So the Gemara, before telling us what the teaching is, thinks it's important to tell us that Rebbe Avira was famous for teaching this and repeating it and spreading this teaching, and yet sometimes he would say, I heard it from Rebbe Ami, and sometimes he would say, I heard it from Rebbe Asi. Ma'idachsev, the Torah tells us in Genesis, Vayigdal Hayeled Vayigomel. Isaac was weaned. He grew up and he was weaned. In the future, God is going to make a great feast for all the righteous. On the day that he repays the kindness, the loving kindness, to the seed of Yitzchak, to the seed of Isaac. So in the future, after Mashiach comes, after Tchias HaMeisim, after the resurrection of the dead, there'll be a glorious feast for all the righteous. La'achas she'ochlim, after everybody's eaten, v'shoisim, everybody's drunk, noisnim lo'y la'avrom avinu kois shel brocha. So comes time to bench, comes time to say the grace after meal. So they bring a cup of wine, and who do they hand it to? Avraham. They hand it to Abraham. I guess he's the oldest, he has seniority. Va'omelahem, Abraham declines. He says, Eini mevarach, I don't want to lead the benching. I don't want to lead the grace after meals. Why? Shiyotzu memeni Yishmael. Because Ishmael came out of me. So God says to Isaac, Nu, you take the cup and you say the grace. So he says, I'm not saying grace after meals because out of me came Esau. So God says to Jacob, Nu, you take the cup, you take the becher, and you make benching. He says, Eini mevorach, I'm not going to bench, because I married two sisters while they were both alive. And the Torah in the future is going to forbid me to do such a thing. So God will say to Moshe, Nu, toilu borech. So you take the becher, you make benching. He says, I'm not benching, because I didn't merit the blessing of going into the land. I never entered Israel. Not when I was alive, not in my death. So God says to Joshua, no, you went into the land. You take the kois, you take the cup of wine, and you start benching. He says, no, I'm not benching. I didn't have any children. Yeshua, who has Ben Nun, meaning that he has no son. So God says to David, you take the becher and you bench. So David says to them, yeah, I will bench. It's proper, it's appropriate, it's the right thing for me to say the grace. Shenema, as it is written, Kois Yeshua's Esa, I will raise the triumphant cup, V'shem Hashem Ekro, and I will call on the name of God. So, this teaching, Rabbi Avira, sometimes he would say it in the name of Rav Ami, and sometimes in the name of Rav Asi. Why didn't he mention Aaron? Just these five. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, and then David, who accepts. Abraham, see the difference between these leaders of the Jewish people and others is that each one of these started a new way in the worship of God, or a new way of understanding God. It taught us something new. Each one of them was ready to give their life for something new. But you know, Aaron, he also did something new, but Aaron was the priesthood which was just for the priests, right? Just for the Kohanim. Avraham, he opens up the idea of God in chesed, loving kindness. So the Rebbe asks, why does this medrash, this gemara, this agadah, it starts on the day that God does kindness for the seed of Isaac? Why is that important here? You know, when we were learning the Sefer Yetzirah, towards the end of the Sefer Yetzirah, we talked about this, the Gemara that talks, that tells us about this argument that God comes to Avraham and he says, your children have sinned. And, you know, Avraham says, well, I will let them work it off. And then he goes to Jacob, and who says the same thing. Then he comes to Isaac. Isaac says, no, they didn't sin. Well, how old were they? How much time did they spend sleeping? How much time did they spend eating? How much time did they spend on the toilet? How much time did they, were they working? You know, so like, how much... And he starts to argue with God. He says, you know, if you're going to punish, you know, let's get things straight. Let's figure out exactly what the punishment is. You see, Avraham, if it comes to understanding the Avraham's world picture, it's all love and kindness, right? It's all giving, it's all loving. So for Avraham, if God says, your children, you know, have sinned, so what's Avraham's argument? Doesn't really have an argument, because Avraham, everything is, you know, let it go. You don't have to like be medactic. You don't have to be so punctilious. If God's coming to be punctilious, then he doesn't really have an argument. And same thing with Jacob. But Isaac, you see, Isaac lived his life very punctilious. For him, he was gevura, right? For him, everything was counted. It wasn't three. If it was two, it was two. It wasn't three, right? So for Isaac, when God says your children sinned, immediately Isaac can say, wait a minute, that's a very broad statement. Let's see an invoice, right? Let's see a product number, purchase order. I want to see exactly, you know, what you do. So don't just say they sinned. Let's figure it out. So, and then he starts to argue, when were they asleep, when were they eating, like, well. And he boils it down to, like, out of a 70-year life, 12 and a half years. And then he says, look, I'll take half, you take half. And if you don't want to take half, I'll take it all. And we said, in the future, Isaac is going to show us God with our eyes. Why? Because Isaac is the one who looked at God, you know. The Torah tells us that Isaac was blind in his old age, and one of the reasons given is because he looked at the Shekhinah when he was lying there on the altar and his father was ready to slaughter him. He looked at God, he saw God. Alive or dead, it's hard to understand exactly what the Gemara Medrash means, but Isaac, so one of the reasons is that he looked and he saw. You know, Isaac is the one who can say to God, I gave my life to look at you. You want to be seen. Isn't that what you want, God? You want to be seen? I looked at you. I was ready to die and look at you. And later it says that Isaac shows us God with our eyes. And in a sense, we all die. That was the Misa al Kiddush Hashem, that was the death for the glory of God that atones for all the other deaths al Kiddush Hashem that shouldn't have happened, right? Because we look. So in the future, when God gets past the Gevura and it goes to the Chesed, right? At that point, he turns to Isaac and he says, right, you know what? After all the mathematics is done and the gevura and the counting and how many sins and everything else, now I'm going to show you really what's underneath it, which is the chesed. So that's the beginning of the Gemara. On the future day when God is going to show us all the loving kindness to the seed of Isaac, meaning us who come here through all that gevura that we've been through. So that's why he doesn't mention Abraham and Isaac. But then, when he comes to the end of the meal and it comes to time to bench and he gives the cup to Avram, Avram says, you know what? From my chesed, from my loving kindness, comes out something really horrible. It's not fixed in the soul of the soul. There's something unfixed about it. And Isaac has to say, you know something? I have to admit that from my gevura comes this Amalek and Esav and this rage and killing, and there's something not right about him. And Jacob, for all that Jacob is incredibly balanced, he says, but you know, something imbalanced came out, because look, my children are still fighting. It's 3,500 years later and they're still fighting with one another. This one is calling this one a Shaygetz, this one is calling this one a Gornisht, this one is saying you're a Mechalas Shabbos, this one is saying you're a murderer. And you know, you go on the world stage today and you've got, you know, got the Falk there in the Human Rights Watch, and you've got this Goldstone, and it's like you don't know where to turn. I'm only protecting myself. Yeah, but it was, we're still tearing each other apart like Yosef and Yehuda. We're still at each other's throats like Yosef and Yehuda. He's saying you're not religious enough. He's saying you're not right enough. He's saying you're not moral enough. He's saying you're not careful enough. Yaakov says, you know what? I married two sisters. I'm not. There's some deep fault. There's some very deep fault. I'm not the one. Moshe, so they say to Moshe, no, you bench. Moshe says, I may have done everything right. I may have brought the Torah down, but you know something? I didn't finish. Because if I would have finished, the world would have been fixed. Because if I brought the Torah down from Sinai to the world, then the world should have been fixed. How come the world wasn't fixed? Because I wasn't allowed to go into the land. Because there's something about the Torah that's incomplete. Without Moshe in Eretz Yisroel, without Moshe to build us the temple. If Moshe had built us the temple, then it would never have been destroyed. That would have been the fixing. So God, there's something about me that it can't fix. So we say to Joshua, no, you fixed. You brought us into the land. He says, yeah, but I didn't have any children. So obviously whatever it was that I did may have been right, but it wasn't something anybody could carry on. So they come to David, and David says, yeah, I'm the one. So the Rebbe says, but look at all the arguments against King David and Bathsheba, and King David and this Saul, right, leaving Saul alive, right, and all the things that David did, that people had complaints on him. David says, no, I'm the Messiah. Do you know what that means? I'm the Messiah. I'm the V'chai Bohem. I'm the one from whom God has no secrets. I am the Chukah in the Mishpat. I am the Mishpat in the Chukah. I am the irrational inside the rational. I am the secret revealed inside of the unexplainable statute. And the Rebbe says, no. When people argue, but David, look what. So the Mishnah immediately, what, you know what follows in the Gemara, you know what follows this Talmudic Agada, do you know what follows? It says, Zog de Mishnah, Ein Maftirin, Ach HaPesach Afikoyman. That's the next Mishnah immediately that follows this Gemara. Ein maftirin acha ha-pesach afikoymen. Do you know who the paschal lamb is? It's King David. It's unbelievable. Ishbitza Torah. All these 2,000 years which those Nazarenes have been talking about the lamb. What's it from? It's King David was the lamb. Ein maftirin acha ha-pesach. We don't want any other taste. We don't want any taste that's going to take away from the taste of the lamb. The lamb is David HaMelech. The lamb is King David. He's the Mashiach that was, and he's the Mashiach that will be. There's no other Mashiach. The Gemara says, that's it. Who's going to be benching? Who's going to be holding the cup of wine at this great feast in the future, the resurrection of the dead? Mashiach. Who's Mashiach? David HaMelech is Mashiach. But David HaMelech died. No. David HaMelech chai v'kaya. David HaMelech never had any days. David HaMelech has the real life. What is the life? It's the life eternal. It's the life divine. Who are we? You and I. We are David HaMelech. We are Malchus. We must remember that Yiddishkeit, Judaism, it has in it from Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it has in Moshe Rabbeinu and Joshua. But what's the taste that we have to carry with us? And even if it means sometimes that we have to find the logic inside the illogical, and we have to find the mishpat, the doing inside the not doing, and the not doing inside the doing, we have to trust. We have to trust that something inside us is the David HaMelech with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the divine spirit that tells us right from wrong. Even if the law says like this, there's still a right from wrong. And even if the law forbids this, there's still a right from wrong. That only we can have from David HaMelech. And nobody can come afterwards and say there's a new law. There's a new way. That being Jewish is something new. Because Ein Maftirin Acha Pesach HaFekoymen. There's no new taste in Judaism that isn't David HaMelech. Shkoyach.